Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today for another Out of Rupees podcast. It's been a bit of a while since we did the last one, but it did feel a bit barren those first 6 months. Nintendo wasn't doing a lot, but in recent months, and hopefully in the months to come, we should have more news to talk about. So, as always, joins me is the Queen of Indies, Lucy. And what have you been playing? Have you been playing anything recently?
No, I haven't. Probably just little bits and bobs. Mm-hmm. Just things that come up on Game Pass. Nothing is really holding my attention for more than a couple hours, so I just try and stick to very short
fair enough.
Experiences. The game I played last was Thank Goodness You're Here.
Oh yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, very, very British. it's quite funny for anyone who doesn't know. It's I think they call it a slap former.
I like that.
Yeah, you're this little weird dude. Basically, he comes to a fictional city in the UK called Barnsworth, which is the most English of names.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it's basically set in Yorkshire, i.e. the north.
Yes, anything above, you know, Birmingham is the north.
But yeah, and it's just one of those. It's very slapstick. It's very humorous. It's basically you're sent on a series of like fetch quests, almost like helping the very eccentric and over the top townsfolk. With all the individual problems, like, oh, I gotta get the deep fryer unclogged for the chippy, or I've got to shake up the barrels in the bottom of the pub to dispense the pint for the locksmith who needs to open up the door to the butcher and stuff like that. It's just continuous, like, fetch quests, but
right.
It's all done in a very humorous and sometimes surreal manner. And it's, you know, it's very, a lot of double entendres, a lot of, taboo and kind
right.
of crude humour.
Is it Monty Python-esque then,
yes,
in some ways,
very
yeah.
Much so, very much so. But yeah, it's, you know, there were many times I was just laughing to myself and saying, what is this game? It's very over the top, very surreal. And it only took me about 2 hours, I think I finished it
right.
in like one sitting. And yeah, it's great that, like, you know, games can look like cartoons now.
Mm-hmm.
The animation just so very crisp and very smooth, and it's a really funny game. I think well worth the asking price for.
Good.
What is an experience you probably won't see
anywhere else.
Yeah, especially because of the British humour.
I've heard a few people, the odd podcast I follow, odd article speak quite highly of it. So definitely on my radar. It sounds quite funny. So, and it will appeal to my Britishness. I know that. So, but apparently it's been across the pond. It's been very popular there as well. So, lots of us in American outlets give it, you know, a lot of praise. So. Yeah, it's good to see that sometimes British humour can transfer over to other countries. But that's good. Yeah, I haven't played as many games this year like you. I've played a few, and I'm currently juggling a couple. So I am playing on PC a Viking sort of turn-based tactics game called Expeditions Viking. I've only played it a couple of hours, so I've only just started, but basically the game starts with, you know, your father has died, and he was, you know, he held a lot of the Viking tribes together, and you're his successor, and the story basically the way it's going, are you going to be able to keep the tribes together, what are you going to do, things like that. So only just started, had to deal with a couple of things right at the beginning. Seems interesting. I like Vikings, I like tactics, so off my boat.
How did you come across this?
How did I come across it? It's a very good question. Mm-hmm. I think... So, they released... The company who released... Whose name escapes me... Released a...
Logic Artist.
Oh, thank you.
By THQ.
So, yeah. So, they released last year, I think, a Expeditions Rome, which got a lot of high praise, better budget and things. And I think I said, oh, that sounds interesting. Quite expensive at the time. Obviously, new game just came out. But they, I was looking through and they said there was an earlier version, which people said, you know, lower budget, bit more flawed, but still good, was Expeditions Viking. And I think I said, oh, that sounds interesting. And there was a Steam sale. I said, I'm going to start on that and see. And obviously, if I like this one, then I'll do the next one, the Rome one. But so yeah, that's basically how I heard of it. Yeah, I tend to, you know me, I like my tactics and strategy games at times, so I keep an eye out for them when they come out, so I pay attention to them, because they can be a little bit more niche. But you know, as I said, I like Vikings, so and it feels like between TV shows, games, and things, there's a lot of interest in Vikings. We're having the samurai phase and the Viking phase, so but this was, I think this game is 2017 2018, yes, so it's quite old. I've just thought, yeah, and I like it so far. It's, again, I'm very early days, but that's good. Another game I've been playing, so I've been playing on Switch, I finished back in the spring, Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on Switch. And as I had the season pass with that, which has sort of an expansion DLC, which is a prequel, but it's still quite big, and I'm early days into that as well. I'm enjoying it, but again, I'm about 5-6 hours into that, so enjoying it quite a bit. I enjoyed Xenoblade Chronicles 2, despite having issues with it, which, if we do have, you know, Game of the Year pod, I will go into fully. But it, long game. And this one, I think this one is meant to be about 30 hours. So it's still a long game as well. Not as long as the other, which is about 60, which is about 65, 70, and that was skipping 95% of all side quests. So long. But I like my long games, as you know. But yeah, so I had to. I played other things in between finishing that, because I said, no, I need something a bit shorter and a bit, not a palate cleanser, but something that wouldn't take as much time and didn't have so many complicated systems to memorize. And I've also just started on, and this is kind of like my bring into work lunchtime game, on 3DS, is Metroid Samus Returns. So I've played for the very first time Zero Mission last year. So I've always been aware of Metroid, but my only influence through Metroid is the Smash Brothers. I mean, I know who Samus is, I know what the character, I know roughly what the story is. And I thought, well, last year decided to take the plunge with Zero Mission. Enjoyed that, my first experience. So, and yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm basically doing the 2D games, not in order of release, but in order of story. So I know Zero Mission's the remake of the very first Metroid game, and Metroid Samus Returns is the remake of the second game. Then it will be Super Metroid, which is on the Switch Online, which was on the SNES, I believe. Then Fusion, then Dread. So I've just started Metroid Samus Returns. Thank you. Yeah, I know the goal of the story is to kill the 40 Metroids. I've killed 5, so again, I'm a couple of hours in. Getting used to the system, I think I really like the melee counter system it's got in place. I think that's good fun, and it can make things, it's not that it's making things too easy, but it does feel like a lot of the mechanics and the way enemies attack, you need to rely on it just to gain a bit of momentum and openings to attack. But yeah, enjoying it so far, enjoying it a lot. From what I remember, the Zero Mission, I mean, I remember it was only last year. Loved the atmosphere, loved the design, loved the music. So yeah, I'm curious to, because funny enough, I've played, my introduction to Metroidvanias has been all games that are not Metroid games. All Castlevania games. It's been Hollow Knight, Ori, those games. So it's good to see, go back and find out really what started, kicked it all off.
What I'd probably recommend is, I wonder if you can still track it down. I'm sure I may have a copy of this, but the fan made remake of Metroid 2.
Oh, okay.
It's called AM2R.
Okay.
I think that stands for another Metroid 2 remake or something like that. But it's I think it's more Well, obviously, the Samus Returns is a bit more modernized and stuff like that. But the fan remake is actually very good.
Who is it?
Probably not Nintendo seal of quality
right.
kind of levels, but it's not far off. It's made very well, and I think it absolutely does a more of a one-to-one
kind I
of
see.
Remake to that. But even if you know have no means of playing it or whatever, maybe just give it a Google.
Give it a Google, have a look. Yeah.
Playthrough.
Cool. No, I'll do that. Thank you. I think I remember vaguely hearing about it when, because I think Nintendo sent a cease and desist, didn't they? And people were really annoyed. But then, I mean, I don't really like when they send cease and desist. It's just a fan remake. But at the end of the day, they then revealed, I think, in the same year, the remake. And I think, and I think they tend to when they if they reveal cease and desist, it's not quite consistent. But often it's because they're doing something themselves. But sometimes it's just random.
And yeah, it was a year after I believe Samus Returns came out. But it's like there's such different like kind of
experiences
on a remake and an experience where it's a shame. But maybe after you finish it, just have a look at it.
I will do. I will do. Well, no, thank you. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. That's good to know. So yeah, as you can see, a bit of a mix of games. A couple of Nintendo games. One not Nintendo game. But recently, so I say recently, yeah, in August, Nintendo, right at the beginning, we're still in August, revealed their latest financials for the Q1 period. So that's Q1 of fiscal year 2025. So we're technically in their fiscal year 2025, which runs from the 1st of April to the 2024 to the 31st of March 2025. And so Q1 covers that period of April, May, and June. They announced that they had 143 million Switches sold. So in the first quarter of 2024 of their fiscal year, they sold 2.1 million units. That is a 46.3% decline year on year, and the software's at roughly 40% decline year on year. If you look at what they had in that fifth beginning period, it's not too surprising. They had that Oceans game, Blue Ocean game. Oh, is it Endless Ocean? That's what it's called. They had, which I don't think did very well. They had Paper Mario and the Origami King in May, and then Luigi's Mansion 2 right at the end of June. And Paper Mario and the Origami King, the remake of the GameCube version. It's a GameCube game. No, you're right. I am sorry. Origami King is the Switch one. It's the Thousand Year Door. Sorry. Thank you. No, thank you for hitting me. But so yes.
Hold on. I blame that one.
So this is people have been craving a return to that style of the Thousand Year Door, and the remake's done quite well. It's done 1.76 million, which is decent. What's done really well, although I'm less surprised because it's quite big now, Luigi's Mansion 2 in 3 days did 1.19 million. So, and that's a remake of a 3DS game, and it was sold at full price. So,
crazy.
I mean, I didn't buy it. I've played Luigi Mansion 2 on 3DS. I loved it, but I don't need to play it. I don't need to play it again. What did surprise me is currently Princess Peach Showtime is only at 1.3 million. So it sold about a million in when it first released, because it came out right at the end of last fiscal year. But since then it hasn't gone up a lot. Now maybe during the holidays and things, but I would have thought it would have done more than it did. 1.3 million is obviously nothing to sneeze at, you know. Especially at the budget Nintendo games. They are probably about a third of what the big, you know, Microsoft and Sony, the crazy numbers they spend on their games, and EA and Activision, all that Ubisoft. But so they've probably made a lot of money on that anyway. But it's actually quite surprising to me, because I thought, you know, people, one of the things people praise about the Mario movie, which was fun, was Princess Peach. And I thought, you know, and Princess Peach finally getting a new game, thought it would sell again. Might still do so, might just be something that, you know, kids pick up around the holiday, but I thought it would sell more than that, if I'm honest.
It's one of those where it's like, it's not technically a new franchise.
No, it isn't.
So it doesn't have that new, something new from Nintendo. kind yep. of spike or jump to it. So, so yeah, and then, I mean, I'm not really following a lot of gaming news and coverage and stuff like that, but yeah, it's like, it seemed like that came and went.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. Which is fine. That's fine. Yeah, games can do that. What's also interesting is that Nintendo has forecasted for the whole of this fiscal year 13.5 million Switch sales, which is a 2 million drop compared to last year, last fiscal year. They've sold 2.1 currently. To me, they need to sell another 11.4 between now and the end of their fiscal year. And honestly, I think that's ambitious. Personally, we're going to talk about the Direct, and we're going to talk about the games that are coming out, which are great games and look very interesting. But to me, these are not games that sell that many systems. They're more like they sell lots of copies because there are so many copies of hardware outside. So I'm very curious if maybe Nintendo's planning a price cut. Because it feels like 11.4 million, you know, units left. You know, summer there's barely been anything. I think there's a Famicom Detective Club game coming at the end of the month. Obviously, Luigi Mansions 2 will continue to sell, but there's nothing, I think, in this quarter, July. So it's July, August, and end of September. There isn't a lot. So I feel like at some point they're either going to have to revise that down or maybe a price cut. I don't know what you think, but I personally think that is too high a target, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It's... A price cut would be a good shout, but then I'd think Nintendo.
doesn't need to... I mean, they're selling well anyway, but it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, so speaking of games, because as I said, that first 6 month was very dry. Even as someone who, you know, I like Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door. I mean, I haven't bought it, but, you know, that's a game. Oh, yes, I've never played it. It's a great remake. I'd love to play that. It has felt...
fine with playing all the little esoteric games. But
yes.
There was.
But in Nintendo, in typical fashion, had a June Direct. So 2 months ago on the 18th of June, which personally, you know, we'll get into specific games. I actually thought for an end of year Switch Direct, it was very good. There were a lot of games, and Nintendo is still the master of this. This game you'd never knew was coming. Here it is. It's announced 3-4 months later. It's here. And I love that Nintendo does that. I thought, strong Direct. Again, I find the pacing can be quite off. I know the cadence of big Nintendo game, now let's do several headlines, then another big Nintendo game, then several headlines. It works quite well, but there were just so many headlines that at some point they all bleed into the same thing, and I just go, come on, this is taking too long. I feel like even on the headlines they spend too long on certain games. To me, a headline should be 30 seconds per game. Some of them go on for 2 minutes and then some are 30 seconds, and it just makes things feel a bit disjointed. But otherwise, I thought it was a strong Direct, and we will talk about the games. But how was you feel? Did you go, oh yeah, this interesting, you know, quite good, or were you like, eh, not really for me?
A lot of the games weren't really for me, but I could understand the I still think it's good that they're still you know, churning things out at a pace that they are. Whether the games are for me or not is immaterial. I think it's they're still supporting it. They're not. I think because our comparison was the Wii U that actually died on the vine, it just wilted away.
So, it did. Yeah.
I'm surprised at how much they're still.
So am I. Yeah, it's good. Yep, and I agree. And they actually opened up with. There've been a lot of Mario RPGs this year. Well, in the past year, between the Super Mario RPG remake, Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, but they revealed a new game in the Mario and Luigi series, which is Mario and Luigi Brothership. I love the look of this. Many people thought, myself included, that maybe this wasn't coming back because this series was made by Alpha Dream, and Alpha Dream went bankrupt in about 2019. I think it was 2018, 2019. So people thought, oh, is this series dead? Because they did all the DS, 3DS. They didn't move on to the HD development quickly enough. But apparently those employees have gone to Ilka, a few of them. Some of them have gone to Nintendo as well. So we still don't know. Nintendo bizarrely doesn't like to reveal who the developers are right until the last moment. So we don't know who's making this. But I think the animation looks fantastic. The art style looks fantastic. Mario and Luigi, the series, the RPG, they're a bit gimmicky with, you know, you button presses for certain attacks and timing is always very important. But they're very funny. They're quite whimsical. You tend to see other areas of the Mario universe that you don't see in the main Mario games. It's generally around the Mushroom Kingdom. That's out 7th of November. And as a Mario and Luigi fan, even though I think they need to cool it a bit with how much Mario they've been releasing, Mario Wonder, you know, all the spin-offs, I think this looks good. I'm interested. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's really, I think, I'm sure there'll be another trailer close to release because it's out in November. I'm guessing this is not really your cup of tea.
Yeah, I'd agree. Probably not something that I'm going to... Well, I don't even have a Switch at the moment, so it's not like I'm running out to get one.
To get one, no, fair enough.
For that, yeah. I think probably the penultimate one on this list, which you'll get to.
We'll get to.
I still wouldn't run out and get a Switch, but... You know,
yeah, you're excited about you. You're of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Highlighting the other big games that I think were real, Dragon Quest III HD 2D. I know people have been clamoring for this remake a while. They revealed it ages ago and then went dormant. It's coming out in November, and they've also revealed they are remaking Dragon Quest 1 and 2 in the same style, but that's going to come out the following year. And I think they'll eventually release a package of all three because, from what I understand, Dragon Quest 3 is a prequel to Dragon Quest 1 and 2. So the stories all tie into each other. And I love the HD 2D style. I think some people say, oh, it's becoming a bit annoying now. But I think, depending on the game, it can work really well. And I think Dragon Quest is a perfect franchise to use that HD 2D style.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my view. There's a new Super Mario Party game called Super Mario Party Jamboree. I don't know how to pronounce it. I'm not a Mario Party person at all, but they tend to sell very well and they're very popular. That's out in October. Is that something you've ever dabbled with? But you hate Mario Party. Okay. Continuing on. For retro game lovers, there's Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection, which includes Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Now, I remember playing that a long time ago, and I remember loving that game. So I think that's exciting. That's coming back. Because I know, was it Marvel Capcom 3 was good, but I think, was it Marvel Capcom 4, which people didn't like? Felt it cut a lot of the content. Cause it was doing the weird Disney Fox challenge where so none of the X-Men characters were in it or something like that. So people were like, oh, well, this is a shame. But yeah, I think it's nice to see these old games come back sometimes. Yeah. Depends how much they price them at, you know. But you know, what's also good, what I do like about the Capcom collections, they include like concept art and you know, it's a celebration. They do a bit more with it. It's not like, I feel like Nintendo's really bizarre with this. Nintendo with the three, which I didn't get, but was it the Mario collection on the Switch, yes, which was the Super Mario Sunshine? Exactly. Like, couldn't you have included, you know, make it a bit more exciting, include, like, you know, some concept art, some development notes, things like that, make it a bit more out of it. And I feel like Nintendo is very weird with how it does remakes and remasters. Sometimes it can do what Metroid Prime Remastered does, completely facelift the entire thing and charge it at half price, and then in others it does a minimal bare bone thing and charge full price. So yeah. I don't really know what the idea is behind that. But sometimes I wish they put a bit more effort into their remakes. I mean, I'm new games, always prefer, you know, more time spent on new games, but it'd be nice just if they just did a little bit more, frankly.
Yeah. Just because you've got all the goodies and information in your vault, Nintendo, doesn't mean that, you know, we don't want to see some of the you know, like archives and stuff like that. So it's just a lack of care for me.
Yep.
And lack of respect for their target audience sometimes. Because, yeah, on one hand, they can do something very well, and on the other hand, they can just be like, here, we know you're going to buy it, so we don't care what you say.
Yeah.
I mean, that sold a bajillion copies as it is, so.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and then they pulled the Mario collection from retail and so, okay, whatever. Bizarre. But hey, that's it. The two next games I'm quite excited about, I think Fantasian, which was actually an Apple Arcade exclusive that people said was very good, but it was from the original creator Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. So people were like, oh, don't limit it to mobile. Well, he hasn't just limited it to mobile. It's now coming to pretty much every platform, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's been published by Square Enix. Which is interesting because I think, obviously, time heals, as they generally say, but I think when the, I can't remember his name, but when the creator Final Fantasy split from Square, it was Acrimonious. So it seems like it's, but, you know, they're working again, so it looks like, you know, maybe bridges have been healed. People feel, you know, we were young and stupid back then, let's not hold on to grudges anymore. So.
And it's not just completely financial.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. But so people say this was very good, did different things in the turn-based genre, and the way they created the world sounds interesting. So they built little dioramas of all their, you know, worlds and lands and towns, and then digitized those dioramas into the game. So it's got tactile feel to it. And they said it's, and that's why people are lamenting, like, this deserves to be on more than just mobile, because it's got a bigger budget, it's a lot of effort's been put into it, and you know, it's a time sink, it's a 40-50 hour RPG.
On mobile,
exactly. So yeah, I'm excited. They haven't given a release date, just said coming end of this year. The next one's very exciting as well, as a big Ace Attorney fan. It's Ace Attorney Investigations Collection, which comes out next month, 6th of September. That's it is a spin-off, but it isn't. So in the games, you play as Phoenix Wright. He is the Ace Attorney, but he is the defense. Miles Edgeworth, who's his friend, is on the prosecution side. And so this is about the prosecution aspect, you know, collecting evidence from that point of view, working to convict people rather than defend them. And the second game never got released outside of Japan. So this includes the first and second game. So arguably, half of that collection is a completely brand new game for half the world, for basically, well, most of the world. And again, this is where Capcom is putting some effort into it. It's got completely new revamped art style, but you can jump to the earlier art style if you wish. Again, some concept art. So it's a bit of, and not, it's pricey-ish, but you know, it's not, you're not being charged 50, 60 quid for it. It's less than that. So yeah, and I love those games. They are wacky in all the best ways. Completely doesn't, if this is what made you want to be a lawyer, no, not don't like things like Suits, and this is not how it works. Shame though, because if it worked like Ace Attorney, it would be very fun.
Yeah, we'd have far more people in the courts.
Yeah, we would.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe they should have brought it to the West.
But I like the look of it. The next game is the one you're alluding to earlier that you think, oh, this is interesting, and I am interested in too. And actually, they released, I thought the initial trailer was good, but they actually released a trailer, I want to say last week, which I thought was even better. So it's The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, out on the 26th of September 2024, and it features Zelda as the main protagonist, which people have been clamoring for a while. I'm not against nor for. I was like, yeah, cool, I could play a Zelda game with a Zelda. I'm also pleased that she's not a straight palette swap, which I know some people want, but Zelda and Link are inherently different characters. So they're going to play differently. I must admit, my general preference is I like to whack things with a sword and shield. I'm not entirely sure that the style they are going for will be entirely for me, but it is very creative and inventive, and it feels like they're taking a lot that was incorporated in the 3D Zelda games, particularly Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, into the 2D landscape. And because it looks like the Link's Awakening remake, people are speculating that it's Grezzo making this.
All right, okay. But yeah, I fully echo that. Like, it just looks so creative and inventive, and I'm just wondering, like, how much you can kind of stretch those systems, and if Nintendo accounted for all the different weird combinations that you can use and stuff. I'm sure they will have, because it's Nintendo, but yeah, it would be fascinating to see.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think again, it looks very inventive, very creative. Like the latest trailer, if you go look at it, there's horse. You can ride a horse in it, which has only really been a 3D thing. It's the way it's got, like, not fused, but it's what the Ultra Hand. It's got an Ultra Hand equivalent. Mm-hmm. So they're really bringing in that they're what they've learnt on the 3D games into that in a 2D space. They've teased dungeons in the trailer. I don't know if we're going to get full dungeons. The UI looks very similar to the 3D games. You can see this not doesn't look like a dark world, but it looks like those purple stretches that are going across the kingdom in certain places you can jump into them. Mm-hmm. Which makes me wonder, hang on, if Link's fallen down there, are there going to be moments where you have to swap over to Link in there to do something that affects Zelda's world, which I think would be a cool idea. But I think some people might, I just want to play as Zelda because this is the first game with her, though I'm calling it now, the final boss battle will be Zelda will create an echo of Link to help her fight that boss battle, I'm convinced. Because in most of the Zelda games, when Link's the main character, in nearly all, it might be all of them, I can't remember the top of my head, Zelda always plays a role in the final battle, whether it's firing arrows at Ganondorf or playing a musical instrument to paralyze, whatever. So I feel like they might do a bit of a reverse thing here. But it looks... And I know some people don't like the aesthetic of Link's Awakening remake. I do. And I think it looks even better here. Just hopefully the performance is better.
That would be my concern. Like, the hardware's a bit old. I know it looks like a lot more is going on technically in this. Mm-hmm. I just hope they've been able to optimise it so it doesn't chug like Link's Awakening. Because... that's the biggest mar on that game, really.
Yeah, it is, because I think it looks nice. It when you're inside dungeons and in places, it plays and looks very good, but then occasionally... It's the screen transitions that are the worst. Yes. It just shudders. It's just like, this is really strange. But otherwise, I still enjoyed it. It's nothing that made me go, oh, I can't play this. It was more, this is really bizarre. And odd, but I like it. I think it looks good, and yeah, again, so that's what, 5-6 weeks away from release, and we knew nothing about it. Literally June, here's a new 2D Zelda, and I know people have been clamoring for a new 2D Zelda for ages, because Link's Awakening is not a new one, it's a remake. So I think the last properly mainline new one was A Link Between Worlds, which is 11 years old at this point. Which is
really
just crazy.
Yeah,
Link Between Worlds is really good.
So. I think it's probably my favourite Zelda game.
Really?
I think
that one. Yeah, I think 2D, I think Link to the Past is my favourite. And I also love the Minish Cap. I absolutely love the Minish Cap. I love the Minish Cap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so again, I think people are very excited. So be interesting, because because obviously the next Zelda game will be a 3D Zelda, and that will be for the next system. So, my theory is that the 3D Zelda team, or the Zelda team, because I think they've combined now, are in the middle of making it, while I think Grezzo are doing this one. I think most people think Grezzo. But again, we'll find out when it's released. Mm-hmm. And Nintendo ended on a game people have been waiting for forever, in Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, with a 2025 release date. They didn't show a lot, it was more a teaser, but they showed gameplay, and I think it looks visually fantastic for a Switch game, and I think it's largely at 60 frames per second, that footage. I think it looks very, very good.
Yeah, I can't remember it. just because I'm getting old. I can't remember exactly what it looked like. But I'm glad it's been revealed and it looks good. Yeah.
I think, so people are like, oh, this can't be a Switch game. It is a Switch game. I think it will come out on the second system, mm-hmm. on the next system, but I think this will launch on Switch first, and then whenever the next system comes out, it might be a launch title for it. Like, oh, here's an upgraded. But that's going to be weird, because I'm hoping, and I think the Switch successor will be backwards compatible. So will there be a thing where, well, you can put the Switch version in and we'll update the textures, it will update? I don't know. I get the feeling Nintendo will try, on a case-by-case basis, if they can get away with charging again, they will do so.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think it would be nice if it lined up with the new system. But yeah, I imagine, I don't know, would they leave everyone out in the lurch? It's like, okay, I've been waiting for Prime 4. Imagine if you bought the console.
Yeah.
I don't think Nintendo care too much.
No. And there have been plenty of games that I'm sure that even if you bought it for Prime 4, you have played in the meantime that you've enjoyed. So it's no big deal. But I definitely think it's a Switch game. And they said it's a Switch game. I just wonder if it will come out later on the successor. Mm-hmm. But speaking of the successor, we had our first acknowledgement that it exists by Nintendo back in May. He literally did the This Is Miyamoto thing with the president Shuntaro Furukawa. I hope I've not butchered that. Basically came out and said, this is the president of Nintendo, Shuntaro Furukawa. Nintendo will announce the Switch successor this coming fiscal year. So up to the 31st of March 2025. So that's now that's about 7.5 months, roughly. 6.5, 7.5. So essentially, I thought it'd be good. When do we think Nintendo is going to announce the successor?
March, April. financial year. Yeah, they're going to be like, okay.
Right at the end of March. You think right at the end. 31st of March at midnight. Here's the Switch successor.
You're going to have a nice big bump at the end of the financial year. But, you know, start laying your coffers down, because this Switch 2 is going to blow you all away. I think it's just going to be done for, you know, telling their investors, like, look, it's coming. I think they'll do it before the March, April.
Okay. fair enough. Yeah, to me, I don't know, because it depends really when they reveal it, aren't they? I think Nintendo's going to want at least a 6-month marketing window, because say...
Sorry, I think that's when they're going to reveal it.
Yeah, of course. But
this time next year.
Because that's where I don't know, because I feel like the reason he came out with this fiscal year is because maybe at that time he wasn't sure when they were going to announce it. When they were still discussing with their teams internally, said, no, well, we're going to announce it by March 2025, but we don't know when. And I think it's going to be interesting, because people say, oh, Nintendo loves short marketing cycles. A console's different. I tend to think even most companies, they like a longer cycle for console, just because to get you used to the idea, so you can lots of marketing rather than just here's a game. And obviously they're more expensive as well. Yeah, well, that's true. That didn't go well. But because there's so many arguments. I feel like Nintendo, if they wanted to, and I think Nintendo are going to do a similar thing to what they did with the Switch, maybe a 2-minute, 3-minute announcement reveal trailer, and then the big blowout 2-3 months before release, whenever that is. And I feel like Nintendo could release it almost at any time. Nintendo might want to wait till the holiday, but if GTA 6 is coming out the holiday too, they might go, you know what? We can release it in summer, or we can release it in September, or in August. Who knows?
Or it could be perfectly enough to play GTA
6. It could be.
And then the world just ends.
Nobody goes out. But the thing, I think that's something where it will come later, if it does come. But we'll need to see. And I think, but here's the thing. For example, we've got Tokyo Game Show coming up next month. And Nintendo has a presence of sorts there. It always has a direct before Tokyo Game Show so that people can then, you know, it's in the marketing cycle. Mm-hmm. Now, Nintendo might decide, I don't know, Nintendo decide, you know what? Tokyo Game Show, trade show, Japanese companies, maybe we go, here's a 2-minute video before Tokyo Game Show, and then all the companies at the Tokyo Game Show go, right, we can now start revealing games for the system and start building up that marketing cycle. But I don't know. Nintendo is such an enigma. Yeah. You see, I'm doubtful of that as well. I think it's just a bit too early.
I think they cater a lot more to their Western audience anyway. I know, you know, games, well, certainly this generation, their games and consoles have sold very well in Japan. Mm-hmm. But it did seem like, you know, their Western audience was far exceeding what Japan was buying in terms of like the console space. Obviously the handhelds like 3DS and stuff like that were huge in Japan as mm-hmm. well, but I don't know, I think a lot of these, look at Sony, they're very much like Western centric as well. Less so than Nintendo, I don't think Tokyo Game Show has a big of a draw outside.
Outside now.
Japan, like the same with like Gamescom, I wouldn't expect them to.
No,
Gamescom, because, or even like just European companies.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be on their terms.
Mm-hmm.
No, but it's just we know, at least we know that by, you know, this time next year we'll know what it is. We'll know what it looks like. It might not be out, but we'll have. You know,
it's going to be a random Tuesday morning, and it's going to be a YouTube video announcing the new Switch 2, and then everyone's going to blow their minds.
I know it's boring, and I know it might bring too many concessions, too many association with Sony, but I think Switch 2 might just be the easiest way to name it, because then people will associate, okay, this is the successor. You know, no new Nintendo Switch or
the Switch U.
The Switch U.
They're gonna
make that mistake, but I think, you know, I think, and because I think Nintendo is prime, I think the Switch 2 or whatever they call it will do well. But I think just call it the Switch 2.
Yes.
People will just go, oh, I know what that. I know what that is. Let's not. They all know Nintendo Switch 2. Ah, okay, it's the second version of this. You know, it's the second. It's the success. It's like the PS2 to the PS1. We know what that means. Mm-hmm. No one will be confused by that in any way, shape, or form. So.
Exactly right.
But yeah.
Especially if it's like the same form factor and same.
Exactly.
Same handheld.
Exactly.
Hybrid.
Exactly. It's probably going to be a bit bigger, I imagine. Because I suspect just for the advancements in tech and things, they'll probably need more space. And I think they'll go. There are rumors that it's 1080p screen, which is going to probably be a bit bigger. It'll just be interesting to see. I'm waiting for that, because you can tell, even though there's some good collection of games come out, that their main teams, the 3D Zelda, the 3D Mario, you know, the persons working on Mario Kart and Splatoon, Animal Crossing, you can tell they're just waiting for what's next, and they're going to reveal that when the time comes. So these are the final few, not to, you know, disrespect these games, these are the final few like morsels of content before we move on.
But
it's been, you know, 7 years, the Switch has sold fabulously.
Yeah.
Nintendo's doing so well.
Sure.
Yeah. Better so. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah. So, but it's exciting time, and generation change is always exciting. And we don't have COVID. I mean, COVID's technically still around, but we don't have that time where everyone was at home and no one could get hold of consoles, and it was a really weird time. You know, this is going to be a full launch with all the bells and whistles that go with it. So. Should be a good time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Lucy. Always a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Where can people find you?
I really want to try.
Jesus. Yes. same on my end. Not Juicy Loose, but you know, you can't find me off the, or you can, but I just don't look at my friend code or online requests at all. But I'm OdieLink97 on everything bar PlayStation, or I'm AgentSmith16. But thank you very much. Now, September's coming on, there might be another direct coming up, might be some news, so we might be with, you know, doing another pod very much sooner than normal. But otherwise, thank you very much, and we hope to see you next time. Bye bye.